Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritam naram cheva narotamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayamatirayet nashta praesha badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavatyuttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki omaginam timirandasya genanjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapanantikam Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatarine Nama Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namni Gauratvishe Namaha Panchaktatvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Svarupakam Bhakta Vataram Bhakta Kyam Namami Bhakti Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Hare Krishna. So today we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 3, Text 34. Ananta Vyakta Rupena Yenedama Kilam Tatam Chida chit chakti yuktaya Tasmai bhagavate namaha Ananta vyakta rupena Yenidam akilam tatam Chida chit chakti yuktaya Tasmai bhagavate namaha Ananta vyakta rupena Yenidam akilam tatam Chida chit chakti yuktaya Tasmai bhagavate namaha Ananta vyakta rupena Yenidam akilam tatam Chidachit shakti yuktaya Tasmai bhagavate namaha Ananta vyakta rupena Yenidam akilam tatam Chidachit shakti yuktaya Tasmai bhagavate namaha Ladies, please. Ananta vyakta rupena Yenidam akilam tatam Chida chit chakti yuktaya Tasmai Bhagavate Namaha Nantavyakta Rupena Yeneda Makilantata Chidachi Chakti Yuktaya Tasmai Bhagavate Namaha Ananta Vyakta Rupena Yeneda Makilantata Chidachi Chakti Yuktaya Tasmai Bhagavate Namaha Ananta Vyakta Rupena Yeneda Makilantata Chidachi Chakti Yuktaya Tasmai Bhagavate Namaha Ananta Vyakta Rupena By the unlimited, unmanifested form Yena By which Idam This Akilam Total aggregate Tatam Expanded Chit With spiritual Achit And material Shakti Potency Yuktaya Antam Him who is endowed Tasmai Unto him, Bhagavate, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Namaha, I offer my respectful obeisances. So translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme, who is in his unlimited, unmanifested form, has expanded the cosmic manifestation, the form of the totality of the universe. He possesses external and internal energies, and the mixed energy called the marginal potency, which consists of all the living entities. Purport. The Lord is endowed with unlimited potencies, Parakti Shaktir Vividayava Shruyate. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila Purport 1365, which are summarized as three, namely external, internal, and marginal. The external potency manifests this material world, the internal potency manifests the spiritual world, and the marginal potency manifests the living entities who are a mixture of internal and external. The living entity, being part and parcel of Parabrahman, is actually internal potency, but because of being in contact with the material energy, he is an emanation of material and spiritual energies. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is above the material energy and is engaged in spiritual pastimes. The material energy is only an external manifestation of his pastimes. So, still we have Hiranyakashipu speaking, and he is offering his prayers to the Supreme Lord Brahma. Actually, he has chosen Brahma to be the Supreme, because in his understanding there are many Supremes, and one can become the Supreme just by dint of some austerities. So thus, he considers these two, Vishnu and Brahma, to be the Supreme. But out of them, he has chosen Brahma to be the Supreme. Why? Because he just hates Vishnu. He wants to kill him, so he cannot just approach him, but give me benediction so that I can become supreme. And actually, he just pretends to praise Brahma, to offer his prayers to Brahma. Why? Because here in these prayers, he expresses what he wants as a supreme. He wants to become better supreme, so he prays for that supreme who he considered to be supreme, just give me this. That's his understanding of the supreme. He just have this concept of the Supreme and put on Lord Brahma. And he prays, just give me this. I want to be that Supreme, which I describe now. It's not really the praise of Brahma, it's just expressing of his desire to become this kind of Supreme. But still, Srila Prabhupada explains and analyzes this verse in his purport as a real prayer to the Lord, the Supreme Lord, Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu. Why? Because all these attributes belong to him. All this attributed to him. Let's analyze the verse first. So in first line, we have Ananda Avyakta Rupena. Rupena, that's possessive case, means the Lord who has this Rupa. So the Lord has Ananda Rupa, means unlimited Rupa, and Avyakta Rupa. Avyakta means unmanifested Rupa. And it's the same form, which is Ananda, unlimited, and unmanifest, the same form. And then the second line, Yenidam Akhilam Tatam. By this form, which is Ananda and Avyakta, unlimited and unmanifested, he has extended all the total aggregate of the cosmic manifestation. Whatever exists was extended by him in this Rupa, Ananda Avyakta Rupa. And then, of course, we have Chit Achit Shakti Yuktaya. Yuktaya, he is endowed with Chit Achit Shakti. Chit means what? Eternal or spiritual shaktis, and achit means material shaktis, energies. Therefore, tasmai bhagavate namah, I accept him as Bhagavan. That's main word here is Bhagavan. Bhagavan, that supreme personality of God. Because all these wonderful qualities, that's opulences, different opulences of Bhagavan, I accept him and I worship him. Tasmai bhagavate namah, I offer my respectful obeisances to this supreme personality of Godhead. And here we have apparent contradiction. In this first line, Ananta, unlimited, and Avyakta, unmanifest Rupa. Because in this world of phenomenal, a different physical, gross, material object, we hardly can find any form which will be simultaneously unlimited and unmanifest. Right? Of course, if we consider the end, I may not even notice it because it's too small. But what about the sun? It's a huge planet, say, for example, right? And it emanates unlimited heat and unlimited light, so, and it's always visible. So in material world, it always like this. If it's unlimited, and more than this, it produces something unlimited, that it's always visible. You cannot miss it. It will be always in your vision. But here, the form of the Lord is Ananda, it's unlimited, but simultaneously it's invisible. We cannot see it, so it's apparent some contradiction is here. Let's analyze this, because it's very interesting. I found it also very inspiring for us to understand this. Actually, Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita 9.4 this term, unmanifest form. What does it mean? Avyakta Rupa. And he explains that although my form is present everywhere, eternally, one cannot see it with one's gross senses, or rather blunt senses, dull senses, right? They're dull, they cannot accept this form. Although for others it's visible, but for some persons it's invisible. So thus, this limitation of this Ananda form, be invisible, comes from our side. We cannot see it. Therefore, it's avyakta. That's from our side. That's our fault. We cannot see it. It's not put, this limitation, it's not put by the Lord himself on his rupa. For some persons, it's really visible. So gross senses, he mentions that because of our gross senses, we cannot accept this Ananda rupa of him. We cannot see him. And then he explains, his gross senses come from gross consciousness. What does it mean? What's the sign of this gross consciousness, dull consciousness? That's avidya, our ignorance. And how it will manifest further, what is the sign of this avidya? This is explained by Vaivasvata Mana in fifth canto, when he has this dialogue with Matsya avatar. he speaks to Matsya and admits that there is a sign of our material disease, of our grossness being engrossed in this matter. What is the sign? He says that it's Matsarya Jvara. Jvara means fever in Sanskrit, and Matsarya means what? Envy. So that this fever of envy that makes us so gross that we cannot see the Lord, although it's right in front of our eyes. And he said that it's universal disease. Nobody can escape it. From the top, Brahma, and also levels of all these demigods who control the universe, to the level of the controllers of different planets, and even still down to even insignificant microbe, everyone has this disease. It's universal disease, the jvara, matsarya jvara, this disease of envy or fever of envy. And then he said, what to say about the demons? And Srila Prabhupada comments in his purport, materialists like Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa, Jarasandha, and Shishupal were highly qualified personalities and acquisition of material assets. So they had everything, whatever possibly to have, they had it. And but they were unable to appreciate the presence of the Lord. That was their fault. Although they that the Lord was staying right in front of them, they couldn't see him as the Lord. And then amazingly, Srila Prabhupada, like generalized, before he was speaking about the demons, they couldn't see. But now he generalizes his own expression, and he says, therefore, even though the Lord may be present before our eyes, it's not possible to see him unless we have the necessary vision. Means we also have, like demons, we also have something demonic in us which impedes us from seeing the Lord everywhere. Right? So what is this? That's envy. That's universal disease. And according to Chanakya Pandit, there are two kinds of envious living entities. One is snake. It's called in Sanskrit kala, and another in envious person. And out of these two, this fear snake can be dealt with, can be pacified by mantras and by different herbs, the actions of different herbs, specific herbs. But what about the second one? This envious person, he can't be dealt at all with. He cannot be pacified by any means. That's a verdict of Chanakya Pandit. It sounds like a verdict of Yamaraj, so no hope for us, because everyone has this envy, but the snake can be cured of this envy, can be pacified, this envy inside, but this envious person cannot be pacified in him being envious. But Prahlada Maharaj gives some hope to us. What is this hope? He is given remedy for this second hopeless kind of the living entity, an envious person. What does he say? Prahlada Maharaj prays to Nrisimhadev. Actually, he has his abode, Hari Varsha, in Jambudvip. We know that Jambudvip are divided into different Varshas, different track of lands. And Hari Varsha belonged to Prahlad Maharaj. It's given to him to worship Nrisimhadev. So Hari Varsha, that's a boat of Prahlada Maharaj, where he praises Nrisimhadev. So he praises about us, about everyone, daily. It's his routine praise to Nrisimhadev for our sake. So what he's praying about? His ideal Vaishnava. He's praying not for himself, not for his relatives, not even for, you know, his attendants and followers, but he's praying for whole world. He's praying, may all envious persons be pacified. So it's possible. Although Chanakya Pandit told it's not possible to pacify envious person, but Prahlad Maharaj said it's possible. Let all envious persons be pacified. And then he gives the remedy. May they first undergo a change of the heart by practicing Bhakti Yoga. the devotional service to the Lord, and thus we'll be able to, second, think of the welfare of each other. Because also, it's big deal. So devotional service, that's the remedy for all the living entities to get rid of this envy. Although some pandits, some great sages say, no, it's not possible. But by dint of bhakti yoga, it's possible. That's what Prahlada Maharaj tells here, just to remove this matsarya jvara. And then we can trace how it's connected us to being envy, or living entity to being envy, and to not be able to care of the welfare of each other, because it's directly connected. According to this prayer, if the living entity is envious of others, then naturally he cannot care for the welfare of others, right? Because just he hates them, he envious of them, right? How he can care of others? It's obvious that unless envy is in the heart, then we cannot really have any dealings with the people around us. So it's like natural phenomena. It's a fact. So we have some hope, because that's the thoughts of Prahlada Maharaj, the prayers of Prahlada Maharaj to Narasimhadev. And because he's a pure devotee, he's a great devotee, so Narasimhadev always willing to accept, to fulfill all the desires of his pure devotee. And if he prays for us, for this change in our consciousness, and to be able to get rid of this envy, of this matsarya jvara, then obviously it will come sooner or later. So, because that's the heart of the devotee, and the Lord is always willing to fulfill all the desires, because they connect it always with the service of Krishna. But one may say, well, all this being envious and envy and its manifestation, that's about materialistic persons, right? What about us? Because we are devotees. I don't, for example, chastise Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for overeating as Ramachandra Puri did or Amokha did, right? Or I don't try to separate Krishna from his beloved Brijbasis like Lord Brahma did, or even to harm him and his beloved Brijbasi as Indra did. So I don't feel I am envious, right? Where is the manifestation of this envy? But the point is that envy may not be manifest in our dealings with the Lord, because there are no established dealings still. There are no direct relationship with the Lord still. Therefore, the envy will not manifest itself. But it may manifest in the dealing with his tadiyas, with his beloved devotees. It may manifest. So that's how we trace that we have this envy, because the devotees, as well as all living entities, if the person envious of him, that means he is envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because they are part and parcel of him, right? And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains the way the envy manifests in the heart. And also it's very important, although it's a tough thing to speak about, because all of us, all these wonderful devotees, they're wonderful because they're devotees. So just to speak of envy in the heart is like, you know, it's probably irrelevant, but still we have to know about this thing, because then we will be able to trace this envy in the heart, and it will help us to get rid of it. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains the three ways this envy will manifest in the heart. First, on the level of physical body, through our body, then one harbors the sense of superiority, or I am better. That's the friend of mine could be, I am better, therefore I am superior. I can look up to down on the person. And so he says it's a manifestation of the envy on the level of the body, in the mind actually, in the mind. So I feel this superiority, I have this sense of superiority in the mind, so it's there, it's like a frame which establish my relationship with the people. I'm superior. Why? Because I'm better. I'm more knowledgeable, I'm more this or that, right? So I have it. So that's manifestation of envy on this level, on the level of mind. And then, of course, from the mind, it comes to the level of speech. The envy may manifest itself in our speech. And how it will manifest itself. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when one criticizes the devotees or other living entities, plus, not just devotees, but or other living entities as well, or gossips about them. So that's manifestation of this envy through our speech on the verbal level. And then from speech it comes, of course, to the manifesting outside on the bodily platform when one wants to commit some violence towards whom he is envious of. And when one harms the devotees or other living entities, it doesn't matter actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur doesn't discriminate in this matter between the devotees and other living entities. If you want to harm, if the person wants to harm the living entity, that means he has this envy in the heart. Whoever it may be, dogs, cats, and birds, and insects, whatever, whoever. And thus, according to this three level, we can test ourselves, actually. Why? Because it's very evil quality. It comes first, that's the original sin. That's the original cause of our fall down here. We are here just because of our envy. So it comes first and goes last. So it's going to stay with us until the last moments, at least of our sadhana, because we are entering our sadhya level, bhava and prem. So it will be with us. So we have to be able to deal with this. And another point here, that envy is the greatest enemy of our relationship with the Lord. Why? There is a verse in Padma Purana spoken by Lord Brahma. He says, Shoka Morsha Dibir Bhavai Akranta Tasya Manasa Katham Tasya Mukundasya Skurtir Sambhavani Bhavet. If one is filled with shoka, lamentation, amarsha, distress, adi, etc., means envy, pride, anger, greed, lust, it's impossible for Lord Mukunda to appear in the heart and make the heart his abode. It's just impossible. So it's also like a verdict of the scriptures. And because all these qualities that it feels, which make our heart unsuitable for Lord Mukunda to appear there and to make our heart its abode, that's a very crucial thing. That's how this avyakta rupa comes in the picture, and Krishna explains this in Bhagavad Gita 7:25. Naham prakashak sarvasya yoga maya samavritaha mutvayam nabijanati loka mam ajam avyayam. Naham prakasha sarvasya. I never manifest to the mudas, to the foolish and unintelligent. So he equals us being envious to our foolishness. So, but it can be counteracted. If the person is full, then by some training, he can become more wise. He can get this intelligence, this spiritual intelligence. For them, yoga maya anavritah, I am covered with the cover of my yoga maya. Therefore, all the deluded world knows me not. Who is Ajam, unborn, and Avyayam, infallible or inexhaustible, So that's our foolishness, that's our envy, that falls in the category of tamas, that's manifestation of our foolishness. And of course, what is the remedy? How to become more wise, how to get this intelligence, how to get rid of this matsarya jvala, of our foolishness here. And Srila Rupa Goswami gives this remedy in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Atakshi Krishna Namadi, Nabhavet Grahyam Indriyah, Seven Mukhi Hijik Vado, Svayam Eva Spuratada. Atakshi Krishna Namadi. So it's impossible just to understand, appreciate Krishna with are gross indriyas. Atak Shri Krishna Nama Adi. What about Krishna? It's not possible to appreciate his Nama, his Rupa, his Lila, his Guna, whatever connected to him. It's just not possible to appreciate. Nabhavet Graham Indriya is our Graham Indriya. Graham Indriya means gross senses, blunt senses. We cannot appreciate. But seven unmukhi hijik vado, when we engage in seva, seva unmukhi, devotional service to the Lord, starting from jihva, from our tongue, then only we can appreciate him. Gradually, Rupa Goswami says, gradually, then, svayam eva spuratada, the Lord himself, svayam, himself, he manifests in the heart. Svayam eva spurti. Spurat means to manifest in the heart. So it's a gradual process, but it's possible, it's doable, it's feasible. So this great hope for us is here. It's actually interesting. It works in, out, out, in. So we can cleanse our heart by chanting, starting from our jihva, our tongue, and then from within the heart will be cleansed. But also it can be dealt with externally. Say, if we feel that's practical things, practical points, but we can discuss them. Say, if you feel this, okay, I'm envious of this person. I want some thing that he has, but I don't have. Then what to do? That's first advice in this regard. Adjust to try with all your heart to find good qualities in person. Just try, because everyone is the servant of Krishna, and naturally, as servants, we reflect his good qualities. It naturally comes in due course of our bhakti. So that's how we progress, and we will reflect him. So we are endowed with all this good quality. And if envy is in the heart, immediately we have to find these good qualities in person. And then from the heart, from the core of our heart, just to praise these good qualities. It will affect us in two ways, actually. It will affect us in two ways. First, if we rest on the good quality of others, if we find good qualities in others, then naturally we will strengthen that good qualities in this person. Because if we just stressing them, if we just noticing them, if we just serve them, if we just praising them, then naturally those good qualities in other person whom we envy, it will be strengthened. But the same could be said about us. If we praise the good qualities of that person, that naturally our good qualities, the same good qualities, will be strengthened in us as well, will be increased, will be deepened. So it's win-win situation. It's very important immediately when we trace something not good, I feel towards this person, immediately it should be done sincerely, like trying to praise, to find this good quality, praise, and to rest upon them with all our heart. And the second thing, which is very applicable, we try to sincerely serve this person. Because by service, we will get all his good qualities. So all this is secret, actually. If we praise the good quality in other, we strengthen them in ourselves. And if we serve these good qualities, they will become ours. We will develop the same good qualities. So it's win-win. So it has to be done. It's like great remedy if we feel that some envy is harbored in the heart. And also it's great samskaras, spiritual samskaras, which we can always refer and return to. Because the nature of samskaras, they increase. Whatever experience we get, samskara means, what is it? They imprint in our consciousness some event. Like, it happened with us, and we assimilated with this event. It was proceeded in our consciousness, and we got the imprint in the consciousness, what was good or bad and how we felt like this. And this praising others for their good qualities and serving good qualities of others, they give us this great deep samskaras, which will increase. And the nature of samskara, when we return or this samskara comes out, it increases the same experience it reflects. So if we praise, the samskara comes out, then we always can feel the same kind of happiness, the same kind of appreciation of the devotees always. And if we do this regularly, then it becomes our habit. We are praising the good qualities, they are ours, it becomes our habit. Although it's external maybe, but because it's habit, it goes inside. It becomes our nature. It says that habit, that's the second nature, right? So that's how it works actually. We can internally cleanse our heart, starting from jihva, with chanting of the holy name of the Lord, and externally to check this manifestation of envy. And it's very, very crucial for us. And the example, Gadadhar Pandit himself, when Mukunda brought him to whom? To Pundarika Vidyaniti. Do you remember this? Right. So first, Gadadhar couldn't believe, where did he bring me? This is just materialistic person. It was in his mind, and it's identified like envy. He's just a materialism. Why did you bring me here, Mukunda? He's not Vaishnava even. It's what I am doing here. But as soon as Pundarika Vidyaniti started chanting this famous verse, Aho Bahiyan Stanakala Kutam, so, although this evil demonist, this Putana, came to kill Krishna, he was so kind to her that he gave her the place of his mother in the spiritual world. Who can be more kind than my Lord? And when Pundarika Vidyaniti, he just heard this, so immediately he could understand that he was mistaken. And he immediately counteracted this. How? By surrendering in service. And he has chosen Pundarika Vidyaniti as his spiritual master. So that's how we have to deal with manifestation of the envy in our heart. And Srimad Bhagavatam gives many examples of such person who can see Krishna, because we now discussing this avyakta, how ananta, unlimited, can be avyakta, can be unmanifest, right? And Srimad Bhagavatam describes so many persons, spiritually elevated persons, who could see and can see still Krishna around in everything. And Prahlada Maharaj is vivid example of it. He's the greatest person who, by dint of his pure spiritual endeavors to just please Krishna by his meditation, by his thoughts about him, he got this vision of Krishna everywhere and anywhere. He can see Krishna everywhere. And this is a sign of Mahabhagavata. Mahabhagavata is a greatly elevated person. And what is the sign? He can see Krishna everywhere. So he is not conditioned anymore by this avyakta. So avyakta is our condition. If Krishna says my form unmanifested, means unmanifest for us, for whoever cannot see it. Otherwise, it's fully manifest. Why these people, these elevated Vaishnavas, these great devotees, can see Krishna everywhere? But because they want to serve him so much, so lovingly, that Krishna immediately comes in the presence of this devotee to have this loving exchange with him. And because he always thinks of Krishna, Krishna is always with him. So he sees Krishna everywhere. So it's a sign. And such Mahabhagavata doesn't have this material vision. Although he's situated right in the material world, he doesn't see this material world. He sees this material world as Krishna. He doesn't see material world, but see Krishna. Oh, yes. And this vision described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the vision of Mahabhagavata, how he sees Krishna everywhere. It's very inspirational, so I would like to share. Although he sees trees mountains and other living entities moving here and there. He sees all as a creation of the Supreme Lord. And with a reference to the context, sees only the Creator and not the created. In other words, he no longer distinguishes between the created and the Creator. Such a wonderful sight. So there is no creation. There is no created, there is only Creator here. That's how it's visible for him. He sees only the Supreme Personality of Godhead in everything. He sees Krishna in everything and everything in Krishna. And this is real oneness. This is vision of this oneness of this material world with Krishna. So for this advanced devotee, Krishna is not anymore Avyakta Rupa. He is just Ananta Rupa. He sees unlimited manifestation of Krishna everywhere. So Avyakta, that condition which we put by our conditioned nature, that's coming because of our being conditioning by this evil envy. So if you further elaborate on this vision of Mahabhagavata, we can say that Mahabhagavata realizes Krishna as a worshipable object of all the living entities. That's how he sees them united to Krishna. Actually, all the living entity, as it's seen by Mahabhagavata, they worship the Supreme, but him. He considers everyone else the worshipper, the servant of the Supreme, but not myself. See how deep is it. And also it strengthens its our understanding that Mahabhagavata, that's another epithet for being humble. He's so humble. He sees everyone else, although they, from our point of view, can be totally materialistic. They see them as a servant of the Lord, but not himself. That takes humility, right? That takes humility. So that's another manifestation of a non-envious person. He's humble. He's humble, therefore he cannot see this envy in someone else. Thus he sees Krishna everywhere. So for Mahabhagavata, easily to deal with the diversities of this world, because this world consists of diversities. And if we don't see this union of this different diversity, but we strive always for union. We want this union. We want to be in this harmony with this world. And then we want. And then it will manifest in our fighting with diversities, because we cannot see how they united through the worship of the Lord. So for Mahabhagavata, it's not a problem to accept everyone, although they may be too diverse. They may be whoever they may be, whatever they may be. All these diversities for him, that's no problem at all, because he sees them in union. And what is this uniting principle? That's the service. They are part and parcel of the Lord, and they're serving the Lord, so they're united naturally, and I accept them as the servants. That's how we can come to the union in the diversities. Otherwise, if you fight these diversities, striving for this union, we never come to the end of this, because we cannot eliminate the diversities. That's how it's created here in this material world. Diversities is everywhere. So what's the point in fighting with the diversities? They will be there. But the point is to change. That's what Prahlada Maharaj speaks about, to change, this change in the consciousness. Suppose to take place, and then I can see everyone in union in the service of the Supreme. That's how it should be. That's how we can come to the United Nations. See everyone united through the service. That's how we can build a wonderful atmosphere here in Mayapur. Getting rid of this envy, trying to see everyone equal, having the same object of worship, having the same propensity to serve. That's how it will build our Mayapur. Otherwise, it's just impossible. I would say a few words about the origin of Matsarya, because we have all these enemies in the heart, you remember. Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Matsarya, Baya, Lust, Anger, Greed, etc. Including envy, right? The six enemies in the heart. And it is said, whatever is here, exists, it has its origins there in the spiritual world. So the envy, material envy, has its origins there in the material world. And the origin of these qualities, of all the qualities, actually, it's one person. It's the same person they are worshipping. Who is it? Krishna. He's a fountainhead of all the qualities, including envy. It's interesting. Although he doesn't feel lacking anything, right? He's Bhaktaram Yagya Tapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram Sukhridam Sarva Bhutanam. I'm the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices, of all austerities and penances. I am the Supreme Lord of all the planets and demigods, and I am the Sukhrit, the closest friend in the heart, but still, I feel lacking something. So what Krishna feel lacking? And it's explained by Krishna himself, the loving emotions of his devotees who love him. This his feeling can be called prema asuya. Asuya means envy, and prema, that's love. So he's envious of the love of his devotees, of himself. He doesn't have this love. Only devotee can love Krishna. Krishna cannot love himself. That's why he's hankering for this feeling of love, for this loving feelings in the heart of his. He wants to get it. And he admits himself in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Say Premara Shiradika Paramashraya. Say Premara Amihaya Kevala Vishaya. Shri Radhika is the highest abode of that love, and I am its only object, Ashraya and Vishaya. Vishaya is the object of love, and Ashraya is its abode of love. I taste the bliss, Krishna admits, to which the object of love is entitled, but the pleasure of Radha, the abode of that love, is 10 million times greater. She feels this bliss 10 million times greater than Krishna. Therefore, he is getting envious. He doesn't have the asset of this. He doesn't have the access to this love. My mind races to taste the pleasure experienced by the abode, but I cannot taste it even by my great efforts because I'm still Vishaya. She is Ashraya and I am Vishaya. I cannot become Ashraya by my nature because I am Vishaya. So how may I taste it? If sometime I can be the abode of that love, only then may I taste its joy. If I deliberate on a way to taste it, I find that I hanker for the position of Radhika. Thinking in this way, Lord Krishna was curious to taste that love. His eager desire for that love increasingly blazed in his heart. Therefore, he comes as Lord Chaitanya to experience this love of his most sublime devotee, Srimati Radharani. So we can say that in this, the Lord is a source of this envy, but it's totally spiritual. So what is the result of this envy of Krishna? The best in the world, the best. Because everything in him is perfect and sublime. Even his envy. Everything about this envy is love only. He manifests from the love of Krishna to Srimati Radharani. Its aim is even more love. And its goal, that's the unlimited ocean of love when he comes as Lord Chaitanya and inundates the whole world with his most unique love. That's not just love, that's Braja Prema. And more specifically, that's Vraja Prema Madhurya of the gopis. This is the spiritual envy. So Krishna himself hankers for the position of the living entity, because the living entity can serve Krishna. Krishna cannot serve himself. Therefore, he hankers for the position of living entity. But this crazy living entity hankers for the position of Krishna. He himself, having everything, hankered for our position. So how much more sublime our position comparatively even to the position of Bhagavan. That's the craziness of this material world. I would like to speak so many other things, but we have to stop now. But I would like to just briefly refer to Srila Prabhupada's advice for all of us. Therefore, we should pray to Lord Narasimha Dev, please sit in the core of my heart, killing all my bad propensities, meaning envy, which we discussed today. Let my mind become clean so that I may peacefully worship the Lord and bring peace to the entire world. Thank you so much. Grandaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premananda. If you have any small questions or comments.
Can you tell me the verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita
where Krishna says that? Yeah, that's Madhya Lila. Sorry, that's Adi Lila, fourth chapter, starting from 132 onwards. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.